Good evening.
Evening.
Old friends and a new face. Welcome. How did you hear about us?
I heard that.
Of course. That's what it's for.
Yeah.
Let's do introductions around.
Wendy.
Wendy.
Joe.
Carmen. Sonia.
Dawn.
Forrest.
Chris.
Ellie.
Sayo.
Angie. Nice to see you, Forrest. We missed you at Sesshin. And it's good to see you back, Chris. It's a treat. Coming and going. So, I found something that I wanted to share with you that Chogyam Trungpa said on somewhere on the internet, that several people have been complaining that they're bored, that sitting is so boring. And the heading is, in meditation practice, boredom sophisticates you. How about that? He says, boredom is important in meditation practice. It increases the psychological sophistication of the practitioners. They begin to appreciate boredom, and they develop their sophistication until the boredom begins to become cool boredom, like a mountain river. It flows and flows and flows methodically and repetitiously, but it is very cooling, very refreshing. So Bob brought this up to me first. So it's been on my mind for a while, and when I saw it first, I thought, we must all catch that while we can. So you can share that with Bob too.
Am I supposed to pass this or just this is for Bob?
Oh, Bob?
Yeah.
Oh, Bob. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. So what we're doing is reading this book, which is not Zen. It's Chogyam Trungpa's commentary on the Tibetan Lojong slogans. And they're very basic Buddhism, really. And kind of self-help. And what we've done is take them home one by one, and keep them in mind, perhaps, and then come back and discuss them in the next meeting, and then take the next one. So what we took this time was number 24. Change your attitude, but remain natural. So the suggestion is to reflect on others first and on ourselves later. So instead of being self-conscious and trying to present ourselves in some kind of way that we believe that maybe we should supposed to be, that we concentrate on what we're confronting and listen attentively to what's being given to us, and only afterwards whatever we have to give back into the situation we give in the most authentic and natural and honest way. So it's really about being honest. He said, instead of cherishing yourself, you cherish others. It's very simple, I think we all are trying to do that all the time. But it doesn't work so well sometimes. We have so many reactions to what we confront, so many ways of feeling uncertain about ourselves, our insecurities and our beliefs about ourselves that we really don't even know and understand what's here, who this is, what this is, much less who we're facing. So best way is just to be flowing like the river that Chogyam is talking about. Just let it flow. Let yourself be as you are. And even if it's not the most perfect thing in the world, which it's not, it's the best thing in the world, because that's what we are. We're the best. So, before we tell our stories, if you have a story about authentic self, I want to say greetings to Dawn, too, because I haven't seen you, except at Sesshin very briefly. I haven't seen you for a long time. It's wonderful that you're here.
Thank you.
We miss you. So, this is a funny one. We present ourselves in so many different ways. I've been thinking about that. I've been surrounded by workmen. They're fixing my street, so they're big machines and workmen with hard hats, and they're all... I feel like I'm in a working environment, and it's not the same as my own regular life. And I think, well, who am I then? Oh, I'm with all these workmen, the big trucks. We are our world in a way, so that's interesting, just to notice what we are in each world that we appear in, or that appears in us. Which is really the way it goes. Yes.
Okay. I wasn't sure if that was a silence for some reason. Well, I wasn't here, but for my work, I meet people all day, face to face, eye to eye, and talk about really important things. And I find that if I really invest in meeting someone face to face like that, that it informs me, informs my life, rather than if I'm self-conscious.
Mm-hmm.
I think that what we're talking about is very apt for what I do. And my experiences lately.
What is the work?
I work for an environmental nonprofit, and so I'm out on the street meeting people, talking about these global issues.
One of those guys at the grocery store.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'll probably run into me.
No doubt.
But yeah, it's a really cool opportunity to really look at someone in the face and learn about myself in the process, not in any tangible way, but that other thing.
Exactly. Yeah. That's very interesting. It's nourishing, isn't it?
After work, I'm full of energy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yes.
Question about your sharing, and I was wondering if the reason that if we were asking who am I is because of the workmen, do you not have a chance to practice, or is it because it's noisy that you don't have a chance to do your regular day?
Yes.
Yes.
It's a very different day.
Yeah.
And I've talked to the guys. They're all Spanish speaking, so and have some English. So there's that cultural thing also. They're all very nice people, but rough. There's a whole different kind of roughness that goes along with it. And then these huge machines that they're driving, they're enormous. The trucks are as long as my house. It's quite interesting just to suddenly have your own world turn into another world, and then I think we ourselves turn into that world as well in some way. Mm. Appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Sonia?
I was wondering this week about putting other people first. And in my mind, I always thought, you know, being generous with your time and doing what you're saying. But yet there's taking care of yourself so you can take care of other people.
Yeah.
And just in a simple way, I'm wondering if it's more than that, more than just being generous with your time, like even pushing yourself more just to see how much you can give or one can give. Almost to the point of humbling, I don't know if that's the right word that fits in there.
Mm-hmm.
I wish there was a gauge, like a scale, where you could thought, well, yes, you know, you could do more.
Yeah.
But no, I can't. No, I think this is it.
It's tricky. It's tricky. And I think we easily get, in our culture especially, we're being pushed to do as much as we possibly can, you know, really, really be busy and stay busy all the time. That's one of the things that we're encouraged to do. It probably goes way back. I'm not sure it's so good for us to push ourselves so hard, because I think you're right, we need to balance it out with taking care of ourselves too. But there isn't any scale. I mean, it's your own scale, and it's different every day.
I'm just wondering if it's a different kind of giving or putting others first, like something that we haven't seen, or I wish you would give an example that's kind of not the usual thing, being generous, being kind, putting, you know, like a...
Well, didn't you just do that?
Pardon?
Didn't you just do that very thing by taking your daughter where she wanted to go on vacation? It's that kind of thing, very ordinary. But we have many, many opportunities to do that or not. And the more awake we are, the more sensibly we can make our decision about it. It really means paying attention to what her or his needs are and how you can best take care of it and still be taking care of yourself.
So would it be safe to say always stay open to it in case we weren't doing enough, or just let it roll and don't worry too much about it?
Let it roll.
How do we know we're not being lazy?
You don't. It's all right. It's just about the relationship. It's not about you. It's just about attending to what's before you, who's before you, who's your world, so that your relationship is the important thing.
Well, an example came to my head. Okay, you're in line at Safeway, and here's this person that's, looks like in a hurry, and or like a stop sign. I have this attitude that somebody, not stop sign, like you're going and somebody wants to get in your lane, but they're pushing.
Yes.
So my philosophy, I can't believe I'm saying this out loud, if they're pushing, I pretend that I don't see them. But if they're sitting there, it's like I go out of my way to let them go. But who am I to make that judgment? It's like, why don't I reverse it in people that are pushing? Let him go.
It's hard. So is this what we're talking about? Or am I, like, way off?
No, it's not. But the other thing you could do is let them both in.
Yeah, well...
And not worry about whether they're good people or bad people.
Yeah, it's easy to let the person that's being sweet.
Yeah. That's why we have these little books with encouragements. Be a little more generous, maybe.
Plenty of time to read the book because you'll be at the stoplight again.
Yeah. Yeah. It's every day. Just ordinary every day. Wendy?
So, thinking about Sam Yazid's example, how much are you supposed to force this? I mean, if you don't feel giving, force it anyway?
I think it's up to each one of us. It's an opportunity every single time to practice. And we can choose to or not. So, we're conscious of choosing it. That's more honest. Sammy is being very honest about her choice. But if we just automatically just elbow our way all the way through our life and world, that's what it's talking about. All about me, the great me. And who cares about those people? And I'll just go through first, and I'll just I'll get the first helping and the first in line and the first in that Safeway and all of those things that people do. They just force themselves into other people's lives. When other people actually are other aspects of ourself. And that's what this is about. That's what compassion is about. And kindness, it's recognizing ourself in others. Rather than just being king or queen of the elements, as we all want to do. Baby Buddha, I alone am the world-honored one. There's the great me, and we all have that in us. And so it takes an extra step in our life as human beings to begin to recognize otherness, what other really is. It's a deep mystery. It's a powerful mystery of our life and our mind, how it is that here we are all by ourselves. We came and here we are. We don't even know how we got here, really. And we're all by ourselves, we're alone. And yet, who are all these others? What is this? And once we begin to taste the truth of that, then, as Forrest was saying, our life becomes very different, becomes much more fulfilled, much more vigorous, I think, and free. It's a kind of freedom in it.
One thing that's kind of confusing about this put others ahead of yourself lesson in the way that it's stated here is because it seems like my awareness of others is from self-learning, and my compassion for others is coming from a compassionate understanding of myself.
Mm-hmm.
More understanding of where the original hurt came from and my responses to that, and then I can more clearly see, oh, this person's acting out of a learned response to their hurt or something a little more unconscious, but you're more able to have compassion for even difficult behavior.
Yes.
But that came from a growing compassion for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Which is putting myself first.
Well, that's a different kind of putting yourself first, I think. But it's true, and that's Dogen's famous teaching, you know, the study to understand. You have to study the self first, and study the self, you open to others. And that's when you forget the self. And that's where enlightenment comes, when the self is forgotten. And there's no self out there, and there's no self in here either. It's all together. We call it love in our culture. And we don't, there's nothing in between. It all belongs. It's one of the problems of our world that we are so fortunate and can so easily put ourselves first. We live so well. And it's very hard, I think, to break through this well-being that we have that makes it harder. I think people who are oppressed help each other more than people who are well fed. At least that's been my experience. It's how our mind works. Once good fortune happens, it's very hard to let it go. So the next one, the one to take home and practice during the week, it's a very funny wording. Don't talk about injured limbs. Isn't that peculiar? This is very ancient. The point of this slogan is not taking delight in somebody else's defects or injured limbs. So, it's about others' limitations, which means it's about how we measure ourselves against others, which is one of the big things that we do. One of the more interesting things that we did in a SPOT program, the teacher's teaching program, was to practice noticing how we compare ourselves to others, just almost automatically. Either that person is better than I am, or I wish I could be like that person, or I'm no good, or compared to that person, or boy, am I better than that one. We're constantly doing that, as if one, we know that other person and what they're like, and then how we are ourselves and what we're like. We can't measure it really.
Sorry.
Oh, it's a good subject. So we did some exercises on that because people said right away, oh, we don't do that, you know, and we're teachers, we don't do that. And then, of course, it wasn't true at all. Took some notes from the other book. Oh, he talked about the black box in science, the assumption that however much we know, it's not nearly enough to know whatever it is. And so we assume that our knowledge is very, very limited. That's the only way to do science, is to always be questioning, always assume that there's more to know. And so if we have our relationships in that way too, assuming that we don't really know, and be curious enough to want to find out, then we become more in relation to Buddha nature than we are to all the superficial stuff that goes on, how people wear their clothes or what car they drive or what kind of language they use. We have all kinds of ways of superficially measuring whoever we meet, put them in boxes. And the suggestion with this is not to put people in boxes and assume that we don't know, and assume that all the way inside there's something of great worth, something that's greatly worthy to know. So he says, choose to be in dialogue with a person's Buddha nature and not their conventional nature. Look beyond the obvious faults that we all suffer with. And, as Karen said, identify ourselves with their suffering because we know it ourselves. Realize that how we are is how others are. That's very helpful, especially in a tight place, in a really painful place. It's so easy to feel like it's all about me. You know, how can this terrible thing have happened to me? And then if you realize that thousands and thousands and thousands of people are having very much the same kind of terrible experience, It changes it. It's not the same. Our mind is willing to be flexible and willing to be open, but it takes the intention, and this is encouraging that intention to open up to the other. It's not easy. Life is painful. And Zen doesn't take away the pain. It it gives us a different point of view about it. The feeling is different. Because it's not about what we call me. So are there questions? And suggestions? I think that's it.
Well, I could make an announcement that in about 2 weeks we have a half-day sit on Saturday here. It's the 13th of September.
Good.
So, keep that in the calendar. That's the only announcement I have.
Okay.
Do we know if Jeffrey's going to be able to open next Tuesday?
He probably will. It's back to school night, and he's a teacher.
I thought he was retired.
No.
No. Maybe not 100%, but...
No, he's back to school talking to the parents.
Well, okay. Okay.
What time is the Saturday sit? On the 13th?
Yeah, that's a Saturday.
At 9. 9 to noon. Yeah, it's a good time. It's always great way to start a weekend. Well, let's do a 1-minute sit.
Okay.